The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion. The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers, welcome to another session of our program, The Clear Criterion. Inshallah, today we will cover some more verses from Surah Al-Baqarah. We will continue from the point we left off at in our last session. Before I mention those verses and give a recap of that of the account that we were discussing, we were generally speaking about the Israelites and the blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon them. But before I mention the exact point related to the Israelites, I would like to share with you a point of excellence regarding sending salawat or expressing a prayer of blessings in favor of the best in creation, Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "The one who invokes blessings upon him once, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows 10 mercies upon him." So if a believer wholeheartedly, sincerely expresses this prayer of blessing for the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, there is hope in the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that as a reward and return for this very deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not bestow his blessing upon that person once, rather he will receive 10 mercies from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The significance of this is something that is understood by those of faith, people of faith. We want to be recipients of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we can do this by expressing blessings for upon He who is the mercy for all the worlds, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Isn't it beautiful when we think about it? We express blessings for the mercy of all the worlds, and in return we receive mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, this is a blessing in itself. Before I continue with the verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, just to give a recap or a reminder of where we were in terms of our discussion. Generally, we were talking about the blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted the Israelites. And a point of discussion was when Prophet Musa alayhi salam was ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go to Mount Sinai to receive the Torah, the holy book of the Israelites. He was to stay there for 40 days and nights, and he would return with the Torah. While Musa alayhi salam was at Mount Sinai, Sayyiduna Harun alayhi salam was left in charge of the Israelites. A trial faced by the Israelites was this, that a man by the name of Samiri, he made a statue of a golden calf. It was made, according to some of the Mufassirun, by the gold melted, the jewelry, the golden jewelry that the Israelites had. He melted that and he made this statue of a calf, and he studded it with jewelry, made it look very extravagant. And as a test for the Israelites, the calf itself would show some kind of movement or make sounds, a bellowing sound, which they were amazed by, some of them, to the extent that many of them erred and began to worship that calf as a deity. So they believed in that calf to be some kind of, Allah forbid, some kind of divine vessel. When Sayyiduna Harun alayhi salam rebuked them for this and he tried to stop them, many of them became adamant that they would continue to perform this act of polytheism. According to some of the Mufassirun, Sayyiduna Harun alayhi salam and 12,000 other Israelites with him, they refrained from this action. But many of the Israelites, after being persuaded by Samiri, began to worship this calf. So we reached a point where it was mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ultimately, after this act of polytheism, they faced punishment, and after this punishment, they were forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this forgiveness after such an act was also a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we will look at this in the context of the Quran. Now with the next verse, verse 54, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ يَا قَوْمِ إِنَّكُمْ ظَلَمْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ بِاتِّخَاذِكُمُ الْعِجْلَ فَتُوبُوا إِلَى بَارِئِكُمْ فَاقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, about him Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and remember when Musa said to his nation, O my nation, you have subjected your lives to injustice by taking the calf in worship. Therefore, repent in the court of your maker. So slay your people. ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ عِنْدَ بَارِئِكُمْ. This is better for you with your maker. فَتَابَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. So he accepted your repentance. Indeed, he is the most accepting of repentance, the most merciful. So Prophet Musa alayhi salam addressed his nation and clearly said to them that what you have done is an injustice upon yourselves. Now this is an expression that is found in the Quran and Sunnah, where when someone transgresses or disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is likened to, or it is described as oppressing oneself. How is this the case, or how can we understand this logically? If we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we put our lives, our souls in harm's way, for we are making ourselves, or we are endangering ourselves rather, in such a way that we might incur punishment through our transgression. So each time we sin, Allah forbid, or we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a chance that we might face the consequences of this sin in the form of being punished or facing a trial in some way. So if we think of it in this simple way, by disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we harm ourselves, our souls. For each time we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only do we endanger our souls in terms of facing the consequences of that bad deed, the sin itself is something which darkens our soul. It affects our spirituality. People say today, why don't I feel sincerity, or why can't I have a concentration, a sense of deep devotion when I pray? And one answer to this possibly is that unfortunately we have covered our souls, we have covered our lives with sin. And when the darkness of sin affects the heart and affects the soul, it can become a barrier and an obstacle in experiencing the sweetness of worship, in actually enjoying the devotion that should have been natural to us. So how can we remove this obstacle? It's not something, there's no apparent shortcut in terms of experience. We have to try, and mujahada is the way, working hard. Every day we work, we strive against the evil that we see and the evil that we do not see. That's the only way to feel or to possibly attain a sweetness of that devotion, or some kind of experience of a spiritual elevation within ourselves. Without effort, we will find it very difficult to find that level of concentration in our acts of devotion. So coming back to the point, Prophet Musa alayhi salam declared to them that they themselves, by resorting to polytheism, by worshipping this calf and taking this calf as a god, they have committed injustice against themselves, because it's a sin, it's a transgression. Prophet Musa alayhi salam also mentioned how they would repent, or as part of an accepted repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what must they do? The Mufassirun, they shed more light on this and they expound on the particular situation of expiation, that it was their punishment. Those who had worshipped the calf would be put to death by those who did not worship the calf. And those who had committed this act of polytheism would happily accept their fate. This death for those who had committed this transgression among the Israelites would be expiation for the sin that they had committed. So Prophet Musa alayhi salam declared this. Many of them prepared themselves to be put to death. 70,000, according to some of the narrations, were put to death within in a day. And Prophet Musa alayhi salam, after their death, it is reported that both Prophet Musa alayhi salam and Sayyiduna Harun alayhi salam, they both supplicated, they wept and they supplicated in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the forgiveness of those who had been put to death due to the polytheism that they had committed in worshipping that calf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the supplications of his beloved prophets Musa and Harun alayhi wasalam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Prophet Musa alayhi salam that those who had faced death as a consequence or due to their transgression, for their expiation, they have been granted martyrdom. So they've become martyrs. And those who put them to death, they or those who remained alive have been forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was another blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that after committing this act of polytheism, first thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them a means of expiation. That they are put to death and that is their expiation in dunya, it's done. They will not be accountable for it in the hereafter. So this in itself was a blessing in terms of that very sin being wiped away. But the other blessing which they received was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not just forgave them, Allah granted those who died, Allah granted them the rank of martyrdom, which is a great rank in the religion. So this was Prophet Musa alayhi salam praying for his nation and being concerned for his nation. If we look specifically at what were the crimes of the Israelites in terms of when they worshipped this golden calf, there were a few elements or two or three elements to consider here. One, the making the statue itself of that animal. Secondly, the fact that the Israelites disobeyed Prophet Harun alayhi salam. Prophet Harun was stopping them from this. He forbade this action, but they did not listen to him. And the third is the obvious one, that they themselves were performing the act of shirk. They had adopted this calf made of gold, this statue. They believed in it to be divine. So that in itself was the obvious crime committed by the Israelites. The interesting thing, another interesting point here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not punish them straight away. They were allowed a means of expiation. It wasn't a case of as soon as they committed that action, something happened to them or they were punished straight away without any means for them to repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or attain some kind of expiation or a way of expiation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we consider the crimes of Pharaoh, the oppression of Pharaoh was not as severe as this crime committed by the Israelites, for they had resorted to disbelief after belief. And this is the ultimate crime. This is the ultimate offense in religion. But despite this, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that even after they committed the crime, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not punish them straight away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed them a means of expiation, which ultimately became a means for them to not just be forgiven, but also attain martyrdom from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Moving on to the next verse, which covers what happened after this event, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَىٰ لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرَةً فَأَخَذَتْكُمُ الصَّائِقَةُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, and remember when you said, referring to the Israelites, and remember when you said, O Musa, we will surely not believe in you with certainty until we see Allah openly. Then you were struck by a thunderbolt as you were looking. This account refers to a particular situation where after the event of the calf, Prophet Musa alayhi salam was to take 70 individuals from the Israelites to join him in worship and in seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would go with Prophet Musa alayhi salam and they would pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness because of what had transpired previously. But as these 70 people accompanied Prophet Musa alayhi salam, at one point they expressed what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly mentioned in the Quran. They actually said to Prophet Musa alayhi salam, "We won't believe in you. We will never believe in you with certainty until we don't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of us." So they wanted the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before they would express a sincere belief and a wholehearted belief in Prophet Musa alayhi salam. And as a result, according to different traditions, according to one tradition, they heard a piercing cry and they fell dead on the spot. Or some of the ulama, they harmonize and they say it was a thunderbolt and a piercing cry, or a piercing cry which was like a thunderbolt. But after this, as soon as they expressed with such arrogance that they did not believe or they would never believe in Prophet Musa alayhi salam until they did not see Allah openly, they were punished, they fell dead. And then Prophet Musa alayhi salam, again having such compassion for his nation, this was not the only example of compassion from Prophet Musa alayhi salam. We will be covering some more points related to the compassion of Prophet Musa alayhi salam for his nation. In any case, Prophet Musa alayhi salam cried in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and prayed for their forgiveness. And he expressed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Oh Allah, if I go back like this, these 70 people are dead. They were punished and they're dead. If I go back like this, what answer will I give to the Israelites?" He was expressing his feelings along these lines before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrected those 70 people. This was another example of the greatness of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, the acceptance of his dua. One important point to note here, that the disrespect of a prophet results in or leads to destruction. These people, when they said to Prophet Musa alayhi salam, "We'll never believe in you," they were disrespecting Prophet Musa alayhi salam. It was a clear act of blasphemy. It was a clear act of disrespect or trying to be dismissive towards Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punish them straight away. So those who talk about the best in creation, the Prophet alayhi wasalam, with inappropriate words, those who try to liken themselves and equate themselves to the Prophet alayhi wasalam, should pay heed that these great chosen people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these Prophets alayhi wasalam, when we speak about them, when we mention their accounts, when we describe them, when we quote them, we must do so with the utmost respect, reverence, and with the best etiquette as taught by our religion. Those who disrespect Prophet alayhi wasalam, they incur the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran how the Israelites, when they expressed to Prophet Musa alayhi salam that they would not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until they saw him openly, the Mufassirun expound on the verse itself that Allah mentions how they were punished in the Quran, but also in the verse after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions their resurrection. Allah says, "ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَوْتِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ." Then we resurrected you after your death that you may express gratitude. This expression which Allah mentions here, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, it was mentioned a few verses prior. And this is a term or an expression which comes in the Quran from time to time, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a blessing or mentions a point, And then he expresses the fact that whatever occurred, occurred, that the people may express gratitude. So the Israelites being reminded here that despite the transgression, they were granted forgiveness. And the response of this forgiveness should be that they themselves thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This expression also applies to the people who were being addressed in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Jews who were living in Madinatul Munawwara, they were witnessing, or they heard these verses from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. It was a reminder for them also that the blessing that had been given to forefathers is a blessing that the progeny or the descendants thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. So part of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not just for the blessing that the individual himself was given in that time or era, but part of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to acknowledge a blessing that was given to forefathers with the hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will maintain or will keep this blessing with those people, or will allow those people to continue to benefit from that blessing. This is something which is noteworthy too. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned another blessing that they were granted. He says, وَظَلَّلَّا عَلَيْكُمُ الْغَمَامَ وَأَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَنَّ وَالسَّلْوَى. And we shaded you with a cloud and sent down upon you man and salwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to say, كُلُوا مِن طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ وَمَا ظَلَمُونَا وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, eat from the pure things we have provided you. And they did nothing to harm us. However, they were only oppressing themselves. Again, a mention of a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this case, it was a cloud that shaded them. Again, there was a mention of the fact that transgression was something which did not harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way. It was something that harmed the people. So we've already covered this, how sin is harmful to oneself. The one who commits the sin is actually committing an injustice to himself. But just to expound on this verse a little bit more, when Pharaoh was drowned and the armies of Pharaoh were drowned, the Israelites were allowed to come back, to return to Egypt and reside therein. They were then given this order by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Prophet Musa alayhi salam, that they were to return to the land of the birth of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam and settle there, or they would go to Baytul Muqaddas. The Israelites would go to Baytul Muqaddas, they would face the Amalika tribe and they would settle in that region. This was something revealed to Prophet Musa alayhi salam as an order for the Israelites, and the Israelites did not show much inclination to this command. Prophet Musa alayhi salam and Prophet Harun alayhi salam, when they both left and the Israelites realized that we have to follow them, we have to leave too, along the way they complained about a number of things, about the journey itself, about how they didn't have provisions and things like this. And one of the blessings given to them was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a cloud to shade them from the heat of the sun. There is more to this account, and there are more points of discussion related to this account. Inshallah, we will cover more in our next session. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion. The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion.